Still be in your heart thinking, yeah, but you don't know my circumstances. You don't know how bumpy the road is. You don't know what I'm saving up for, actually. You don't know what I'd like to do with the money I've got, thank you very much. It's possible to watch a DVD like that and still think those things. And I just want to encourage you that God seems to look on the generous. I see it throughout Scripture. I can't escape it. There's a sense in which God has given us everything we'll ever need in Jesus Christ. And by giving money into this gift day, you're not going to make God love you more. You're not going to gain more acceptance with God. But it seems to me that God searches round and looks for generosity. You need to hear verses like, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these things get added to you." Okay, you sow generously, you reap generously. I just want to read a couple of verses from the book of Proverbs. We don't often read out of Proverbs. It's kind of even starker. It says this, Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. It says, "One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered." And what Solomon's saying there is, as you give out to others, you can expect to be blessed back. There's other translations which talk about refreshing. The one who refreshes others will him or herself be refreshed. And I want to say to you, as we walk down this Christian walk, it seems to me God's watching for generosity. It's a principle in life. It's not just with money, it's with everything. If you seek the good of others, if you'll give yourself for others, you kind of find goodness coming back to you. If you want to receive, then you give. It's a bit like the kingdom of God. It's a bit like it turns everything upside down. It's kind of counterintuitive. It's like everything Jesus came and said. If you haven't read the Gospels, if you're here as a visitor today, I encourage you, go and read something like Mark's Gospel. Jesus is kind of outrageous in the things he says. So he kind of says, if you want more, if you want to receive, actually what you need to do is give. And if you want to accumulate, how you accumulate is you go and scatter. It's kind of counterintuitive. If you want happiness in your life, you go after happiness in the lives of others. If you want to be built up spiritually, into maturity, strengthened spiritually, what you do is you give yourself to the spiritual strengthening of others. It's the kingdom of God. It turns everything upside down. And if God would say to you this morning, don't ignore this stuff. Just take it seriously. Don't close in on yourself. Don't put the barriers up. Don't say, "I'm okay, thank you very much. I'm just about getting by. I'm doing okay. But, you know, this gift day, it's a bit of a step too far for me. £250,000? Wow. It's okay for others." But say to you, God's watching for generosity. God knows what's in your heart. There's a story of a woman in the Old Testament. It's in 1 Kings chapter 17. We haven't got time to turn there this morning, but it's the prophet Elijah is told by God to go to a village and find a woman in that village who will feed him because there's drought in the land. Okay, not only had there been no rain, the God had stopped the dew in the morning. So I guess it was like desert-like conditions. And this prophet called Elijah turns up in this village and meets this woman who's out on the outskirts of the village picking up some kind of sticks on the ground. And it's kind of outrageous if you read this story because he kind of walks up to this woman and says, "Can I have some water, please?" And she goes off and starts to find him water. And before she's even got the water, he says, "And yeah, I'd quite like a cake, please, as well. I'd like you to bring me some bread." And you've got to remember, we're in drought-like desert conditions here. And what she says to him is this. She says, "You don't understand." She said, "I've got a little bit of flour left in a jar and a little bit of oil in a jug." And you kind of imagine she'd been rationing this stuff maybe over weeks or months or maybe years. Who knows? She said, "That's all I've got." And she said, "I've just come out to get some sticks, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to cook this meal for myself and my son, and then we're going to die." That's what she says. "We're going to die. We're at the end." She's probably emaciated. The Bible doesn't say starving. But this prophet Elijah, he's not fazed at all. He just says, "That's fine. You go ahead and do that. Go home and die. But before you do that, make me the cake, please." It's outrageous. He says, because if you make the cake, if you make this bit of bread for me, God says you won't go hungry again. And somehow this woman finds faith in her heart, because the Bible says she did as the prophet Elijah said. So she goes home, makes the bread or the cake, and what she finds is, as she does that, it's not clear how it happens, but somehow, supernaturally, the flour and the oil just keep coming. The supernatural provision from God, because she found it in her heart to be obedient to God. I want to say to you this morning, God looks at the heart. These gift days aren't about us just raising huge amounts of money and giving lots of money away. Actually, God does something in our hearts through these gift days. And if you think this just isn't for me, and you kind of step back, so I don't think I... Do you know what? I say this to you as a pastor in this church. I think you miss out on God doing things in your heart, about God softening your heart. Okay, you learn to trust God through these gift days. It's one of the ways that God trains us. Should we say, God, I'm going to trust you? You know, you've said it. You said, if I sow generously, I'll reap generously. You said, if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will get added to me. Okay, God's not, it's not some slot machine where you put your money in, it just comes out. We don't know how God deals with us. But we do know we can trust God. Okay, I'm not saying you put a specific amount into this gift, it just comes back next week. That's not how God works. God looks for us to trust him, and he's trustworthy, and things can come back to us. You might get a gift in 2 years' time that relates to what you put. You don't know. You get a job promotion. God looks after you. He looks for generosity. He looks around for it. To know that. And it's like you can come to this gift day and think, if I'm not putting some huge amount of money in, it's not worth me putting anything into this gift day. Wrong. I want to say to you, God looks at the heart. If you come into the front here and you put £10 in, or £100 in, or £1,000 in, or five, whatever you put in, keep going up. It's not the issue. The issue is God's looking into your heart and saying, what does this gift mean for you? Are you being generous, or are you not being generous? So important that we see that. There's another verse, again, in the book of Ecclesiastes. Again, Solomon, he says this, cast your bread on the waters. I love this verse. Cast your bread on the waters, for you will find it after many days. So we come into a gift day, it's a bit like what we're doing. We're bringing the money, even myself as an elder here, I kind of bring the money to the front, put it in the bucket. It's like I'm casting it on the waters and saying, God, I don't know exactly what you're going to do with this money, but I'm giving it into your kingdom. And I know I can trust you. And we don't know as we give money. You see, at the cross, Christ opened up this fountain of life. This fountain of life. There's this river of life that flows. And as we give money into his kingdom, as we give money into this gift day, this river of life that brings life to everything it touches, we don't know who will walk past that building in Hove. We don't know who will start to get a sense of, there's some people meeting in that building. I think I'll go and put my head around the door. That's what I did a long time ago. And God got hold of me. But I'm saying, you don't know what God will do with what you put into this gift day. But it's exciting. You're giving into the kingdom of God, which is the most exciting thing that's happening in the whole earth today. It might sound like a crazy thing today, but God is gathering the nations of the earth for his son, Jesus Christ. And we're a part of that. And as we put money into this gift day today, it's to help with everything we're doing in this church, across our sites, trying to get us into this building in Hove. People are coming and finding Christ every week. I was here even last Sunday. Someone comes forward at the end, gets prayed for, receives Christ at the table over here. Okay, it's happening all the time. It's happening in our other sites. It'll happen in Hove. There'll be people who are sitting in there as flats all the way along the road, sort of four deep. You go to one front door there, and you find there's four different letterboxes with people living behind every single front door. They might hear some singing in a few months' time. You don't know what God the Spirit will do in their hearts as you give into this gift day. You put it into this river of life, and God will take it. God says, you cast your bread on the waters, trust me, and it will come back to you. It will come back to you. It won't go unnoticed. I believe Jesus says even this. He says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven as well, doesn't he? Don't store them up on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. There's an eternal perspective for this as well. It's like we're storing up things ahead. And I've got to just read this brief testimony here of a rich merchant in America. It was actually George Miller writes about this. Joel mentioned George Miller in his DVD. And this is literally his memoir of what he wrote. And this is literally on this man's deathbed. And through the years, this man gave away huge sums of money. He decided that what he would do is he would get to a certain level of wealth, and once he went over that, he would just give away increasing amounts of money to the point of which, where he was worth X amount, over that, he just gave everything away. And over his life, this man gave away huge sums of money. But this is what he says, is literally on his deathbed. He said, "It's a glorious thing," he said, "to face death. I have been active and busy in the world. I have enjoyed life as much as anyone. God has prospered me. I have everything to bind me here. I'm happy in my family. I have enough property. But how small and mean does the world appear on a deathbed? How small and mean does the world appear on a deathbed? Nothing can equal my enjoyment in the near view of heaven. My hope in Christ is worth infinitely more than all other things." And that was a man who'd given away huge amounts of money through his life, and it doesn't sound to me there like he's regretting what he's done. there's this sense in his heart, actually, I've stored up something that's going to last forever. So I want to encourage you, I want the grace of God to be on you this morning. And ultimately, don't give into this gift day because, you know, I'm shouting at you and telling you to give, or Joel does, or anyone else does. Ultimately, you just need to keep getting in your heart that God has been more generous with you in Jesus Christ than you'll ever be able to be generous back to him. If I look around this room, we have been dealt with the most generously. And I want to finish by reading some words of one of my favorite preachers, Spurgeon, from the 19th century. Just touches on this verse about you water others, you get watered yourself. And he says this. He says, "To serve Jesus, what shall I say of that? Look to those hands pierced for you. And shall your hands hang idly down and not be used for him? Look at those feet fastened to the wood with nails for you. Can I ask you any pilgrimage too long to repay the toil which those feet endured for your sake? My brothers and sisters, remember what Christ has done for you. From where he came, the riches which he left, to what he came, the poverty and shame which he endured, and how he went down into the depths that he might take us up to the heights. What shall I give to God for all his benefits towards me? He's spared your lives. He's made your hearts leap for joy at the sound of his name. He's plucked you out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he's made you sons and daughters. And he's put the ring of his eternal love on your finger. And there's a crown for your head and a palm branch for your hand and pavements of gold for you. Pleasures forevermore for your entire soul. And even your body is to be raised again from the dust and fashioned unto Christ's glorious body. Scripture says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for you. Now, what will you do for him? Will you not win the promise that your soul shall be watered by seeking to water the soul of others?" I'm just going to ask the musicians to come up.